Word of God, please, and turn with me. Jeremiah chapter 33, as we stand to our feet, in honor of God's Word, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I want to preach tonight on that thought, call unto me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, for your mercy, your grace, your love, compassion. Lord, I pray that tonight your word would speak to us and help us and strengthen us. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for loving me. And I thank you for the privilege of prayer. We give this time to thee. Lord, may we gain from it the very things that will help us in our lives to be close to thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When you study the book of Jeremiah and you get to this portion of Scripture, you realize that Judah is in Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah is shut up in the court of the prison, and he's been there and he's talking with the Lord. We have some of his prayers recorded, and you can go back and read these, and we get to this place, we see some things happening. But in chapter 32, we see that Jeremiah is truly a man of faith. He's a man that trusts God. He's a man that knows that God is able. Because in chapter 32, even though he's in captivity and there's a field that's occupied by the Babylonian army, he buys this field because he knows what God has said. He knows that God has promised that the land would be theirs again. And so he goes by faith and he buys the field. And if you go back and you were to study it out, you would see that it's the field of Hanameel and how that God speaks to him and how the whole circumstances that are there. But he knows that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Here in chapter 32, verse 16, he says, "Now when I deliver the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And then I love it over here in this same chapter. In chapter 32, we see that the Lord responds to Jeremiah's praying. And notice what he says in verse 26. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And then he begins to talk to Jeremiah and to speak to Jeremiah. And then it goes on here in chapter number 33. And we see that the Lord is speaking to him in this time while he's in prison, and Jeremiah's revealing his thoughts. He talks about the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed us to establish it. The Lord is his name. And he said, "This is what God has said to me. This is what the Lord has shown to me." Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is too big for the Lord. And this is what God has shown me. He showed me, first of all, the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. God has given us, as believers, the greatest privilege in all the world. We can talk to God. You know what God I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Lord, the maker thereof. I'm talking about the Lord that has formed it to establish it. I'm talking about the Lord. That's His name. And we can talk to Him. He says, "Call unto me." We call unto Him, to this Creator God. We call unto Him for, first of all, for ourselves. We call upon Him for ourselves in the matter of salvation. You remember when you were saved? You know how you were saved? By calling upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that God's made it that way. I'm glad that wasn't I had to call and then do all kinds of other things, because I wouldn't have made it. But I'm on my way to heaven. And so we call upon Him for ourselves in salvation. We call upon the Lord in the time of trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." What a privilege. Troubles in my life, guess who I can talk to? I could talk to the Lord. Do you realize there are times, the person in this world that's closer to me than anybody is my wife. But there are times that I can't even go and speak to her, but I can always talk to God. It's not because she won't understand, it's because sometimes I don't know what to say. You ever get to that place when you know something needs to be said, but you just don't know what to say? Well, guess what? God already knows. He knows what's in my heart. And I can call upon Him in the day of trouble, and you can call upon Him in the day of trouble. He's given us the privilege of prayer. And we call upon Him for ourselves in salvation, for ourselves in time of trouble, for ourselves when we're in need of mercy. The psalmist said in Psalm 86, 15, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon Thee." What a God. What a wonderful Lord we have. That He has plenty of mercy if we're willing to call upon Him. Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace. They seem to go together, don't it? Grace is where God gives us that which we don't deserve. Mercy is where God doesn't give that which we do deserve. And that's what this is talking about. When we have this need of mercy in our own lives, that we can call upon Him, and He has plenty of mercy for us if we'll call upon Him. Here's the invitation to prayer. It's the privilege of prayer. It's what God has given to us. Are we using prayer in our lives? Are we calling upon the Lord for ourselves? Are we trusting God with things? Jeremiah is in captivity. Babylonians have occupied a field. But you know what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah said, "God has assured us that Israel will one day have this land again. And He purchases a field by faith." You know what He does? He doesn't look at the present circumstances. He lives by faith. And while He's there, in the courts of the prison, He just decides, "I'm going to put my faith in God. And I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to call upon Him." The Lord's speaking to me, and He says, "Call upon me." Call unto me, God says. Call unto me. And we can call upon Him for ourselves, for salvation. If you've not done that, that's where you have to start. You can call upon Him in the time of trouble. You can call upon Him when you're in need of mercy. And by the way, you can call upon Him when you're in need of rest. The Bible says, the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we just can rest in the Lord. That's a privilege of prayer. So we have the privilege of prayer for ourselves. Then we have the privilege of prayer for others. We need to be able to pray for others. We need to be the place in our life where we can call upon God for others. And our great example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, "Simon," the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But listen to this. But I have prayed for thee. Thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Lord Jesus says to Simon, "I want you to know, I'm praying for you." That's the privilege of prayer. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for others. You can talk to God for somebody else. Now, you can't be saved for somebody else. You can't be baptized for somebody else. A lot of things you can't do for somebody else, but you can pray for somebody else. And the Lord Jesus shows us this, and He shows us how that we can use this privilege of prayer. I think about Paul. What a man he was. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verse number 15, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He hath wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "I'm just going to pray that God pour His blessings out on you. And I'm always going to be praying for you. And I'm going to make mention of you in my prayers. And I'm going to pray that God will do some great things for you. That He'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge." And he says to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter number 1, he prays for them. And verse number 4, he says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy." He says, "I'm praying for you, church at Philippi." The church at Colossae, think about what he says to them. Now, from every evidence we have, he'd not even been to Colossae. But he's writing this letter, and as he writes this letter, he's going to be sending it by Epaphras back to the church at Colossae. And this is what he says in verse number 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He's not even been there. But he says, "I'm praying for others." We pray for ourselves. We pray for others. Those that are outside the family of God, we can pray for those. Those that need the Lord, those that are going through the difficulties. I like what James said. We can pray for one another, for these that's right here in our midst. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another," he says, "that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What a privilege. A privilege to be able to pray for ourselves, to be able to pray for others, to be able to pray one for another. That's when it gets personal, when we pray one for another. Sometimes we pray for others corporately, right? Pray for the church, pray for things to happen. But then somebody comes and says, "I've got this thing that's really, really, it's more than I can handle, or it's a sickness." And he says that we can pray one for another. "And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's the privilege of prayer. God said, the Lord that formed it, the Lord is His name, said to Jeremiah, "Call unto me." And I believe tonight that God's on His throne in heaven, and He's saying, "Call unto me. I've given you the privilege of prayer. Call unto me." Be a prayer warrior. Be a person that just trusts God. But then there's the promise of prayer. He says, "Call unto me," and then he says, "And I will answer thee." That's pretty good, isn't it? "And I will answer thee." It's one thing, you know, I can pick up my telephone and I might be able to punch in 767-1868. I'm calling unto Mickey. He's got this thing. He can look at it and say, "Don't want to talk to him, you know." He may be on the other line. May be busy at that time. He may not feel it go off, vibrate. That's me. I don't have it on ring. And if it's loud as it goes, I don't feel it. I don't hear it, you know. He may not answer it. But God says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." I like that. Call unto me, and I will answer. That's the promise of prayer. What greater promise can you have in all the world? See, God desires not only to hear our prayers, but also to answer our prayers. The Bible says, the psalmist was writing in Psalm 91. Notice what the Bible says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So that's talking about people that's trusted the Lord. We've made the Lord our habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known me. Listen to this. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We see that the Bible teaches us that for people that trust the Lord, people that are saved, we can call upon the Lord. For those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High can call upon the Lord, and He will answer us. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. What a wonderful promise is given to us in the Word of God. Matthew 21:22, the Bible says, "And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now, we're either going to believe God or we're not. We're either going to believe the Bible or we're not. We're either going to understand that God has given us prayer, or we're just going to waste our life by not calling upon the Lord and trusting Him with His promises. I think we ought to call upon Him and let Him answer us. We have a God that hears and answers prayer. Now, we do know that sin will keep prayers from being answered. The psalmist said, Psalm 66, verse 18, he said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." So we understand that there is the privilege of prayer, and that is, God says, "Call unto me." That's the privilege. The promise is, "And I will answer thee." God wants us to pray and to trust Him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah said, nothing's too hard for the Lord. So, you think what you're going through is so big that God can't handle it? The sickness that you're dealing with, it's too big for God? Or you think maybe it's too little, and you don't want to waste God's time with it? Guess what? You'll never waste God's time. He wants us to call unto Him, and He will answer us. It doesn't matter how big or how small. It doesn't matter how vast the problem may seem. The promise is that He can hear and answer our prayer. But I like the third part of this, the power of prayer. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee," and listen to this, "and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." There's a resource of power that's found in prayer that goes beyond what we can even comprehend. It's bigger than you and I can even imagine. If we'll call unto Him, He will answer us and show us things that we can't even comprehend. We can't even fathom that God is this able. Not only will God hear and answer our prayer, He'll even go farther than that. That great passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. And I love this passage of Scripture. He says, "Now," Paul says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." My God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. You know, when you pray and you say, "Boy, I believe God could do this. I think God can answer this prayer." It'd be a miracle to see this prayer answered. It'd be something, it's just hard to believe. This is so big. But I believe God can do something about this. And the Bible says He can do even more than what you could possibly imagine that He could do. As great as you think of what God can do, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that. That's the power of prayer. He can show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which we cannot even comprehend. We have a God, the Lord, the Maker that formed it, that established it, that is able. And this same Lord invites us to pray. He saved us. He keeps us. He says, there's even more. He says, "Call on me, I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Probably the most untapped resource of power in the world is the power of prayer in the lives of Christians. Probably the most untapped resource is the power of prayer in the lives of Christians. But it's not because God is not able. It'll be because I don't call. I don't pray. Prayer. Did you know that God can take care of everything? The Bible teaches us that the Lord is His name. If you have needs, He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. If you have battles, He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. If you're looking for peace, He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. If it's sanctification you need, He's Jehovah Makadassian, the Lord thy sanctifier. If it's guidance, He's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. If you're lonely, He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And if it's sickness, He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Call unto me. Call unto me, I'm Jehovah Jireh. Call unto me, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. Call unto me, I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things. Because I'm able. And you know that God can say that, and it's not haughty. It's holy. We can trust God with whatever. Whatever we're going through in life, call unto me, He says. I will answer thee. Here's the thing. We either trust God or we don't. We either look to God and put our faith in Him, or we try to live our life by sight and by what we feel. If you live your life by feelings, you'll never go further than where you are. As a matter of fact, you'll regress. But if you'll live your life by faith, you can go where God wants us to go. May the Lord help us. Let's bow together. Call unto me. Why don't you determine tonight, I'm going to take God at His word. And I'm going to step out by faith. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to let God do what He could do. I'm going to let God take care of things. I'm going to let God take care of maybe my sickness or maybe this loneliness or maybe whatever it is. I'm going to let God take care of this. And I'm going to call on Him. And then I'm going to trust Him because He's able. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank Thee. Thank Thee for Your love. Thank Thee for Your promise. Help us tonight to take to heart Your precious Word. Help us to take this privilege of prayer and realize the promise of it and recognize the power that's there if we'll learn to use, to allow prayer to be a part of our life. Trust in Thee, only Thee, for our moments, our hours, our days, our weeks, our months, our years. Dear Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.